response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Let's talk some NBA and the significance of the NBA now coming back when Major League Baseball can't seem to get out of their own way. Our good buddy Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Forbes.com and Heavy.com. You can find him at Sean Devaney on Twitter, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
We are doing good. So I know it's not the way everybody wanted it to play out, but it's probably the best scenario to get the season culminated. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are as we get ready for some NBA basketball.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going into this thinking, all right, I'm going to watch an NBA postseason, I'm going to watch the end of the regular season, I'm going to cheer for this the way I always have, you've got to wipe that notion right out of your head, because that's not how this is going to be. It's not how it's going to look at all. This is going to be much more of, let's face it, it's a TV show, and it's being done for the revenue. It's being done, because owners and players don't want to lose out on that money and don't want to have that carry into next year. So that's the essence of what's happening here. There's going to be some risk on the parts of players and coaches, and that's something that probably hasn't been talked about enough. But in the end, the product that we are used to seeing in the NBA postseason, can throw that out the window. This is going to be much more of a focused television show than anything we're used to.
One of the things that we've seen in the NBA versus Major League Baseball is the players are all kind of scrambling for their own, and some players don't want to play, other players do, other players say it's not worth enough money. Meanwhile, you had the NBA's finest get together and say, we're going to call like a general mass meeting, and they all said, we want to finish the season, we want it to culminate, we don't want any interruptions, we want to be united, and damned if they haven't been. How impressed have you been with the rank and file of the NBA PA in wanting the season to culminate?
Well, here's the thing, Bill. In 1983, a little history, David Stern, who wasn't yet the commissioner, he would become the commissioner in the next couple of years, negotiated a collective bargaining agreement. This was when, the NBA was having the finals on tape delay and there was a huge drug problem and the league was really shaky. What the players and the league did at that time was they agreed to put all their resources together so that when they decided the salary cap, when they decided who was going to get paid what, they had an agreement where you would take all the revenue that the league makes and you would divide it 50-50. The owners would get 50%, the players would get 50%. And what that did was create a partnership between the owners and the players. So there's always, they always have the same interest at heart. This isn't a situation as like we see in baseball where the owners are collecting all the revenue and then deciding how much to give the players, which is a sort of a standard business model. This is, all right, we're going to take all the money and we're going to divide it, which means for the players, there's a lot of incentive to make sure that they create as much revenue as possible. So that's the big difference here. And when they did it in the 80s, it was basically, the hope was that the players would clean up their own drug problem because they knew that was keeping them from maximizing their revenues. And now you're seeing it play out in a much different way with this pandemic, where players have a lot of incentive to go out there, even with the risk that it might carry, to go out there and play, because they are essentially partners with the owners, and if the owners lose a dollar, the players lose a dollar, and that's the big difference that we're seeing here. So yes, I'm impressed, but it's also, I think you got to keep in mind that this is written into the contract. This is part of how these guys get paid.
Talking with Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Forbes.com and Heavy.com. So the shortened, structure, the way it's going to be, is there a team in particular that's still in this thing that maybe this type of format favors, do you think? Or is this just going to look like very physical, very, self-respective games when it comes to, I'm going to go out and show somebody up just because of my own pride versus having the fans cheer me on?
Yeah, I think, and talking to some coaches, they all pointed me to one team that this probably favors more than anybody else, and that's Houston. Because what Houston does in terms of their offense, you know, they don't really need to create a lot of chemistry again. They don't really need to do a lot in terms of feeling each other out and getting back in the moment. What they do is they give the ball to James Harden, they give the ball to Russell Westbrook, and they get out of the way. So Houston is probably the team that coming in cold like this, despite the shortened training camp and maybe some scrimmages that they'll have, coming in relatively cold and then going right into the playoffs after eight games, it probably favors Houston because they don't need to have a very coherent offense. They just need to get the ball to those stars and like I say, get out of the way.
What do you think of the Bucks going into this this format?
I think there's no question that they've got to be the favorite. When you look at what you're going to need to handle this kind of thing, you're going to need depth, you're going to need versatility, because you get into these series and, you're going to be playing matchups quite a bit. Fouls are going to be strange. Obviously, the refs are going to be a big factor here. The way that the Bucks are set up in terms of their depth, I think that they're better prepared to handle injury. They're better prepared to handle foul trouble. They're much better prepared to handle all those things that that teams will be looking at. The Lakers will be there. I think the Clippers are probably, to me, they would be the favorites in the West. I would have them ahead of the Lakers, though the Lakers are obviously the number one seed and ranked higher. But I think the Clippers are probably a better bet to come out of the West. I would still say that that Milwaukee is this doesn't exactly favor the Bucks, but I think that it would be hard to say that any other team in the East is going to have a better shot at getting the finals than them.
Hey, Sean, one thing I have not heard, do we have a date as to when everybody has to get their ballots in for MVP?
No, we haven't quite been told yet if these eight games are going to be considered, if any part of the playoffs are going to be considered in terms of the MVP stuff. So that's still sort of an issue that's dangling out there. And, in the past, it hasn't really mattered. It's just been an individual award. But now it does affect, how some of these guys can get paid going forward. So it is a little more important now to make sure that those are as official as they can be.
Coach Budenholzer has got a pretty good staff around him. One guy that's getting a lot of attention is Darvin Ham, the former Milwaukee Buck. Would you think he, because of the way this season has culminated and because of the way the season has just kind of shut down, it's going to be a very short off season. Do you think he has a head coaching job going into next season, or do you think that one more year here is what's going to probably end up happening, and then after that he goes somewhere?
I think it's probably one more year, and then he goes somewhere. When you look at just, and that's not anything based on him. It's just based on the jobs that are likely to be available. If Brett Brown loses his job in Philadelphia, the Sixers are probably not going to hire a first-time coach. They're probably going to look for somebody with some experience. He'd probably be a good fit, with the Knicks in New York. For whatever reason, Knicks are in denial about the fact that they're rebuilding, and so they're not going to hire somebody like Darvin Ham. Chicago would be a possibility. I would think that if there were a job that he would be a good candidate for, it would probably be that one. That would probably be his best chance. But I just think that when you look at the jobs that are likely to be open, most of those teams are going to be looking for veteran coaches.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, when you mentioned the Knicks, why is it just the owner? I mean, is that thing just in a shambles? I mean, who in the hell looks at each other every day walking down the hall and go, "We got this"? Because it just seems like it's just a train wreck.
Yeah, it is the owner, and it's a culture that's been within that organization for a long time. There is this sort of backbiting, very political sort of culture it's not necessarily we're doing what's best for the franchise. You're really incentivized to do what's best for you. And time and again, we've seen front office people, you know, Phil Jackson most prominently talked about that and talked about the culture, whether it's, you know, in the staff of the team, doctors or you know, in the marketing department, how all these different factions are fighting against each other, and it just does pull the whole thing down. Of course, it's up to the owner to change that and to create a better culture, but that's just the way the Knicks have been, you know, for 25, 30 years. So it's really hard to see, you know, just having Leon Rose in as the new team president. That's really hard to see how that's going to necessarily change all that. Like I said, Phil Jackson probably came in with enough credentials where he could have gotten that done, but in the short time that he was running that team, he wasn't able to, and it kind of. You gotta kind of figure that if he wasn't able to get that done, it's hard to see how anybody else is going to.
Sean, always good stuff. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk again shortly down the road. Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Sean Devaney. He is the NBA writer for Forbes.com and Heavy.com. You can find him on Twitter at Sean Devaney. And you can always read his stuff there as well. He sends out a bunch of links and a lot of updated information regarding the NBA. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.